This episode is produced and made possible with the help of Raycast Media.
Si le gustaría escuchar un episodio en español, por favor escuche el siguiente episodio.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Monday. My name is David Fuentes, and I am part of the team of La Incubadora Podcast. La Incubadora Podcast is part of the Economic Growth Business Incubator, a local nonprofit with the mission of providing training, coaching, and support to aspiring and existing business owners who face barriers to growing a successful business. La Incubadora Podcast is born out of the need to put in video and audio a lot of the success stories that we see here at the Business Incubator. We also want to answer frequently asked questions and connect small business owners with the resources to succeed in business on your own time and wherever you are while you have access to a mobile device. This episode is produced with the support of Raycast Media, and so EGBI sends a big thank you to Raycast Media for the partnership with La Incubadora Podcast. Now, for today's episode, we'll cover a little bit more information about Facebook Marketplace. Do you have a business and you don't know about it? What does it mean to sell your stuff in Facebook Marketplace in the context of your taxes? In this episode, we'll unravel the intriguing concept of unwittingly owning a business and its tax implications, particularly in the realm of online selling through platforms like Facebook Marketplace. I am joined today by Andrea Harrington, lawyer and team manager for Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid. And so we'll explore scenarios where individuals may unknowingly find themselves in business roles and the repercussions that it means for their taxes. From understanding IRS criteria to proactive compliance measures, Andrea offers invaluable guidance to navigate this terrain. Tune in and equip yourself with this essential knowledge and be prepared to manage your tax responsibilities effectively in the digital marketplace. And so before we begin, I want to tell you a little bit more about Andrea Harrington. Andrea Harrington is the team manager for Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid's small business and nonprofits team. Based in TRLA's Austin office, Andrea works throughout Texas to serve the area representing micro entrepreneurs, facilitating pro bono small business legal clinics, and providing community legal education on legal issues relevant to micro entrepreneurs. Before working with micro entrepreneurs, Andrea represented domestic violence survivors in family law cases and in protective order cases. Andrea obtained her Bachelor of Arts with cum laude at Harvard University in 1998 and completed her law degree at the University of Texas School of Law in 2003. And so with that, I want to give a warm welcome to Andrea. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, David. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm excited to be a part of this Incubadora podcast.
Great. And so we've been good partners in the past before, and you have helped us with our legal clinics. And so we thank you for your contributing even more time today. So thank you, Andrea.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure.
Andrea, can you tell us a little bit about the work that Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid does?
Sure. So, David, Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid is a nonprofit law firm. And we provide assistance through a wide variety of areas of law, from family law, for example, to public benefits, housing issues, landlord-tenant issues. So we do have eligibility guidelines that we have to meet for our clients. But if you can go to www.trla.org/get help, and there are prompts there that can let you know what our legal intake hotline is. It can get you started if you need assistance to go through our eligibility screening and get some legal assistance. And then, of course, we also offer legal assistance to small businesses. So, again, it's a service to the community. All our services are free for eligible clients. And we have offices here in Austin and really throughout our service area, which goes all the way west to El Paso and all the way south down to Brownsville.
Great. Yes. And you have been a great resource for our community here, too. And so for today's episode, we're going to be talking about Facebook Marketplace, Andrea. And so can you tell me, how does selling items on Facebook Marketplace potentially classify someone as a business owner for tax purposes?
So The interesting thing about Facebook Marketplace is that people use it for anything as varied as, you know, you've got a new couch, or you are moving your baby from a crib to a toddler bed, and you have to get rid of the old furniture and pull in the new furniture. That's not a business, okay? If you're reselling personal items and you're taking a loss because you bought the crib for $100 and you're selling it for $50, right? Other folks are using Facebook Marketplace as a way to make some extra money. So maybe you go to Goodwill on the buy by the pound day, and you get your haul of items, and then you come and you resell them on Facebook Marketplace, right? Or you purchase furniture or toys that are a little bit beat up, and you refurbish them and you sell them on Facebook Marketplace. And you're using that extra little bit of income to, you know, top off your grocery budget, to be able to pay your car insurance or something of that nature. The main thing to know is that if you are regularly selling items via Facebook Marketplace or any of these other types of online platforms, like Craigslist or eBay or Etsy or any of these online platforms, you should know that the IRS may consider these activities of you being engaged in a business. And that does have tax implications, because the IRS is very clear that all business income should be reported and is taxable.
Okay, no, definitely. And so I think that's a good segue into our next question. What are the key factors that the IRS or tax authorities consider when determining whether someone is running a business on these online platforms?
Sure. So businesses are run with the intent of making a profit, right? So, you know, maybe if I'm moving my child from a crib to a toddler bed, I don't necessarily care so much about the profit as about making the space in my house for the little bed, right? But if I'm selling items and the intent is that I make more money than I spend, then that is considered running a business with the intent of a profit, right? There are other factors that the IRS will consider, including, and this is when we talked about selling regularly, the regularity of the operations. So if I'm listing one new item a week, two new items a week, one new item a day, that's a regularity of engagement with the platform for a business activity or for an economic activity that is going to be taken into consideration by the IRS. Okay. And of course, the production of income, and any ongoing efforts that the person may take to improve their profits or to further the interests of the business. So if I am selling on Facebook Marketplace, but I'm also advertising my items on Instagram, those are going to be other efforts to further the interests of my business. And that's going to make it more of a business activity than, you know, just a personal transaction that is not considered a business.
No, that makes perfect sense. So it was profit and then the regularity of operations, right?
Yes, and the production of income. If you're bringing in income pretty regularly, that's going to be a factor. And you know, people, I know this is a little bit of a segue into the next question, but I know that for a long time people could sell on Craigslist and on Facebook Marketplace, on eBay, and you would get paid via PayPal or Cash App or whatever. And that was the end of the transaction, but that's changing.
Okay. And so what are the specific thresholds or criteria that we should be aware of when it comes to selling these goods?
So the big change that's happening this year that is really important for people to know about is that these transactions that you're doing, if you're getting paid through Facebook Marketplace, if you're getting paid through Venmo, through Cash App, through PayPal, through Zelle, these payment providers are going to be sending out 1099s to you. There has been a big change in the law. And starting in 2024, if you make more than $600 in income through one of these apps, these payment apps, you are going to get a 1099 that is reporting your income over these apps. right? Mm-hmm. So if you think about what you've been selling on Facebook Marketplace, if you make more than $600 in a year, which is not a lot, guys, this is $50 a month, okay? And starting next year in 2025, you're going to get a 1099 for that. This year, 2024, which the first quarter is already done, the threshold for receiving the 1099 is $5,000. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you make more than $5,000 on one of these payment platforms, you're going to get a 1099. And this is per payment platform. This is the important thing. So for those of you that are maybe selling mm-hmm. a little bit higher priced items, like maybe you're selling jewelry, that you're, you know, getting at thrift stores or estate sales and you're reselling it on Facebook Marketplace, or maybe you're selling furniture, some of these higher priced items, collector's items, right? You're going to hit, if you hit that threshold on PayPal and you hit that threshold on Venmo, guess what? You're getting two 1099s, one mm-hmm. from each payment provider. So it's not aggregate for your whole business. It's per payment provider. So it's really important to be aware of that. The reason that this hasn't been an issue for a lot of Facebook Marketplace sellers for a long, long time was because the threshold used to be $20,000.
Hmm.
And it is dropping down $5,000 for 2024. That's this year.
Mm-hmm.
And $600 for 2025, which is next year. So mm-hmm. it's really important that you guys who are selling on Facebook Marketplace, that you take the steps to at least start keeping records so that you can deduct your business expenses from what you're doing, from the money that you're making reselling these items.
Okay, so that partially covers our next question. That's one piece of advice that you recommend is start keeping a record of all these items that you're collecting and selling through these online platforms.
Absolutely.
Okay.
If you're going to Goodwill and you're buying by the pound and then you're reselling some of these items on Facebook Marketplace, you need to get receipts from Goodwill of what you're going to call your cost of your goods sold. Okay. Mm-hmm. The other thing that folks need to really be aware of is that if you are selling online on Facebook Marketplace or one of these other platforms, you should have a sales tax permit from the state of Texas and be collecting sales tax, because that is another mandatory rule of law. And I won't get too much into the weeds on the sales tax rules, but it is something that affects all sellers. And it's really, really important that you guys learn what items you're selling are taxable and collect the sales tax on that and turn it over to the state on your filing deadlines. Really, really critical. And that sales tax could be a whole nother podcast.
Yeah. And so really it's a business, right? And you need the same. So thank you for sharing that information. I think it's really useful. I think what comes from that, you know, we have some clients here, for example, someone who owned a tire shop. And so they would resell the used tires on Facebook Marketplace. And that counts as a separate separate business operation in itself. And so it's kind of wrapping our heads around this and specifically for tax implications, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. No, how can these individuals who sell these items online ensure that they're being compliant with these regulations and also avoid any unintended liabilities?
So the main way to ensure compliance, there's two big things that folks need to do. Uh-huh. One is keep records. And you guys will hear this from your business counselors, from lenders at the bank, from mm-hmm. anyone who works with small businesses will tell you how important it is to keep good records. Keep mm-hmm. records of the money you spend for your business. Keep records of the money that you're earning through your business. Because any tax compliance is going to be reliant on the quality of your records. The other is to actually report. I mean, you know... there is no way around it. Mm-hmm. You have to report your income. You're able to deduct your expenses, but there will be just know and accept that there will be taxes due on your income. on your profit that you're making from your operations. Mm-hmm. And then the other piece of it is to really understand what your state sales tax obligations are and make sure that you're going to be compliant with those as well. It's the cheapest way to go about doing this because otherwise you might get audited on the state level and on the federal level, which is expensive, right? If you're going to have someone representing you or helping you with this, and any back taxes that were found to be owed, you're going to have to pay, as well as interest and penalties. So the cheapest way to do this is to do it correctly from the beginning.
Yeah, and so you heard it here, folks. Make sure you keep your records, make sure you are reporting, and make sure you're meeting your sales tax obligations. You'll save yourself some money in the long run. And so what are some misconceptions or pitfalls that people may encounter when they're trying to understand their tax obligations when they're selling through these platforms?
So a big one is that people think that because they're selling online, that they don't have a real business, and so they don't have any tax obligations, or that they don't, because they haven't formed a corporation or an LLC or filed a DBA, that they don't have a business. Mm-hmm. That is not the threshold that the state or the federal government uses to determine whether or not you're going to owe taxes on business income. What they're looking at is the reality of the situation. Are you engaged in economic activity that's making you a profit? That's what they're looking at. They're not looking at the formalities of whether you filed this paper or you filed that paper. They are looking at the reality of what's going on. Yeah. So it is really important to have that in mind. And the thing is that when you're doing stuff online, that is a record in and of itself. I mean, that is evidence that is out there. It's, you can't claim that you weren't doing it because all those posts are up there. So it's really important to have that reality check with yourself and say, okay, I need to budget for these taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's really important to know. And to know before you start doing these things, right? Otherwise you can find yourself in a hard place, even without knowing it. And so as a lawyer, you kind of specializing in this area, what advice do you have for people, for our community who may be uncertain about their tax status as online sellers?
And in my experience, people generally have a pretty good idea of what their status is, whether or not they have a business. Uh-huh. It just may not be the answer you wish it was, right? So my advice is to be really honest with yourself about your selling activities online. If you are regularly selling baby clothes, if you are regularly selling toys, if you are doing ropa susanas online, then you have a business. If you're regularly selling online to make a profit. And once you have come to terms with the reality of your situation, then go ahead and do that. Do the record keeping. If you're uncertain, do your record keeping. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because then you may not know. You say, well, I don't think I'm making a profit every month. Well, then do the record keeping and you will find out whether you are or not.
Yeah.
And that is one way where if you really aren't sure, that can give you the information you need to say, okay, well, it may not be a huge profit, but yeah, I'm making $100 a month or $80 a month. So I need to be taking care of this so that I don't get myself into hot water.
All right, so keeping records, that's the main piece of advice that I got from our discussion today. And Andrea, where can we find more information about this?
So one of my favorite places to send people, of course, is to EGBI. But I really encourage people, if you want information specifically about taxes, the IRS has an excellent website. They have an excellent YouTube channel, and they have a whole web page dedicated to small businesses and small business tax issues. So you can find a lot of information on their website. The Texas Comptroller has a lot of information on sales tax issues, so that if you have questions about sales taxes, if you're not sure whether you should be collecting sales taxes, you can do that reading online and get some more information there. We are very lucky here in the city of Austin to have a lot of resources for small businesses and for entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. The city of Austin has a department dedicated to small businesses. And there are lots of nonprofits here in town that are also dedicated to assisting small businesses. So there is help out there. But for these specific topics, I would say go straight to the source, which is the IRS.gov, as well as the Texas Comptroller.
Yeah, perfect. Great. So we have several resources that we named IRS.gov. And I think that's the most direct source. I did look up on Google IRS Self-Employment Center, and that was a good resource. It's the one of the first things that pop up. Mm-hmm. And then also, I think you shared a good amount of other resources here in this podcast. So thank you. Thank you, Andrea. I know that this is there's a lot of changes around this, and you know, folks will have to adapt. And you know, none of us want to deal with tax issues or want to deal with the IRS. So it's better that we keep those records before we get ourselves into trouble.
That's right.
So no, thank you so much, Andrea. And for us listening today, that's all for today. It's been a pleasure once again chatting with you, Andrea, and we hope that you find this episode useful to you. If you know someone else who could benefit from listening to this episode, please share the link with them. And remember that La Incubadora podcast is a part of the Economic Growth and Business Incubator, a business incubator in Central Texas that offers training, coaching, and support to small business owners with barriers to achieving success. If you would like to learn more about the Economic Growth Business Incubator and our services, please visit egbi.org and see you soon. Thanks, y'all.